Good morning. Our lesson for today is a part of Jesus' conversation with a leader in the Jewish community of his day, a man named Nicodemus. And some of these verses are very familiar to many of you. It's from John chapter 3. We'll just read the first four verses of the lesson right now. And as I read it, I just ask you, what do you think are the most important words for you as we read this lesson? Jesus was speaking, and he said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So what are the most important words in your mind? I would guess that many of you would have chosen the word love. You know, God so loved the world, that's what this is really all about. Or the word save, that Jesus came into the world to save us, that's really important. But these are the three words that stand out for me: everyone, world, and whoever. And the reason why those are the most important words for me in this lesson is a confession to you. I talk about God's love for other people, but I have a hard time believing it's true about me. You know, as I think about the world, I know that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies everybody. He's the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. But you'll notice there's an exception there. Except for me. Because Jesus, in the same conversation, said, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." Now, I have to admit to you that there are things that I'm not going to tell you about. Things that I've done this past week. Things that I've said this past week. And I guarantee you there's things that I've thought that I'm not going to tell you about. I don't want these dark parts of me exposed. And so, when I recognize there's this darkness within me, there's this question. Did Jesus really come to save me or condemn me? And what's true of me is not just true of me. I know it's true of every one of us. In fact, in our hymnal, there's a section that on page 156 in the hymnal, if you're ever over in worshiping in the sanctuary, I'd encourage you to open up to page 156. It's the preparation for communion. And if you have a hymnal at home, page 156, right in the beginning of the hymnal, there's this great personal confession, personal preparation for the Lord's Supper. And it asks some tough questions. So I'd like to read that to you. And I'm just going to pause at some of these questions. And let's think about, what are some of the deeds of darkness that you wouldn't want to share with everybody here this morning? I should examine myself according to the Ten Commandments and ask how well I have carried out my responsibilities as a husband or wife or single person, as a parent or child, an employer, an employee, a teacher or student. And now hear all these really tough questions that are meant to remind us that there's this darkness in every one of us. Have I loved God with all my heart? Have I gladly heard his word? And I'm not talking just about here on Sunday morning, right? Have I set aside time to hear his word during this past week? or if we've been too busy playing games or watching TV or working? Have I patiently endured affliction? Does anger and frustration come up? Have I been disobedient, proud, or unforgiving? Have I been selfish, lazy, envious, quarrelsome? Have I lied or deceived, taken something not mine, or given anyone a bad name? Have I abused my body or permitted indecent thoughts to linger in my mind? Have I failed to do what is right and good? And the answer to every one of these questions is yes, yes, yes. See, I'm not the only one who has to admit that there's some darkness in here that I don't particularly want everyone else to know about. But that darkness makes me question my relationship with God. And that's why I so much appreciate these words. Everyone who believes. God loved the world that whoever believes. These are words that reassure me that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn me, but to save me. Now, I'm a little concerned that so far you're going, okay, pastor's just talking about himself. What I want is that every one of us could say the same thing. To think it through. That as you remember the sins that fill you with shame, I think especially of things of the past that they just come back. They're remembered, and we have a hard time forgetting them. To remember that the words world, everyone, whoever, are written there to reassure us so that every one of us can say, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn me, but to save me. And when you and I know this, then we can step into the light. Later on in that conversation, Jesus said, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. That you and I can step into the light. We don't have to be afraid to confess before our God these deeds of darkness, because Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn sinners like me, but to save sinners like me. And so we can step into the light and be embraced by His love, because it says, everyone who believes, God loved the world, whoever believes has eternal life. And this is so important for us if we're going to carry out the mission for which Jesus has placed us here. We are like a pipe. God says, I love the world. I sent my Son into the world to save the world, not to condemn the world. But how does the world know about this all-embracing love of the Savior? It's only through us. We are the pipe through which that love of God can be spread to the world. But, you know, if you and I question, I don't know if it's really true for me. We're plugging up that pipe and nobody else is going to know. So this is where we need to start. It's not selfish. It's vitally important that every one of us can say, God sent his Son into the world not to condemn me, but to save me. And when we have that knowledge, then the question comes up, why am I here? Why am I here wrapped up in this all-embracing, forgiving love of my Savior? Am I here to condemn you and you and you? They go, of course not. We're wrapped up in that love's embrace, not to condemn you, but to save you. I think about that when I go to baseball games. You know, I'm not really a baseball fan, so even at baseball games, I'm thinking church, I'll be honest. You know, there's 40,000 people there. And I go, God loves every one of these people. God knows all of their deeds of darkness. And he loves every one of them. And Jesus came into the world to save every one of those 40,000 people. And I go, yeah. And I'm wrapped up in Jesus' embrace of love. Not to condemn those people, but to save them. And it's easy to say because, you know, especially if the people around you at a baseball game are generally okay. You know, it's kind of easy to say, I love them. Because, you know, I don't have to put up with their sarcasm every day. I don't have to put up with their selfishness every day. You see, I don't have to put up with their deeds of darkness every day. I can just say, oh yeah, I love those 40,000 people. That's easy. But what about those people that we rub shoulders with every day? What about, you know, your spouse or your significant other, your roommate, your parents, your children, your coworkers? Boy, you don't have to rub shoulders with people very often, and you know, there are all kinds of deeds of darkness in their lives that make them particularly unattractive. And it's easy to condemn them because their deeds of darkness just jump out at us. But if you and I have experienced this all-embracing love of the Savior, that really is, it is true that Jesus came not to condemn me with all of my darkness, but to save me. Then what am I here for except to save you and you and you? Right? Now, some of us feel like, but you know, the people that I rub shoulders with, I have a hard time loving them because they see my deeds of darkness. You know, just like you can see their sins probably more clearly than they can, they can see yours too. And so there's no sense trying to hide like Adam and Eve scurrying for cover. Let's step into the light. Let's just admit, you know, if we've lost our temper with our kids, to say, you know, I'm sorry. I said stuff I shouldn't have said. You lose your temper at work to apologize. You know, well, they won't forgive me. Who cares? It's not about whether they'll forgive you or not. It's that you're honest. And you just say, you know what? I'm not a child of God because I do everything right. I don't. I'm a child of God simply because I know that the Son of God came into the world not to condemn me, but to save me. And I believe it's that honesty that can give hope to the people around us. Because I think there's an awful lot of people who have things that they have done, maybe habitual sins that they're trapped in, that they just feel like there's no hope for me. But if you and I are honest and we admit the sins that they see in us anyway, and they know that we trust that the Son of God did not come to condemn me but to save me, that we're giving them hope too. That they are included in the everyone. And God loved the world. And that whoever believes, no matter what you have done, the Son of God's blood truly does wash our sins away. Jesus went on in that text and talked about the world. And his words are certainly true. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Now, I have an admission. I watched the Oscars last Sunday night. My wife made me do it! But as I watched the first part of the Oscars, I didn't stay up for the whole thing. Harvey Weinstein came up over and over again. And the despicable things that he did were kind of brought back to our attention, our memory. And there were numerous organizations like the Me Too movement to encourage women to speak up against sexual harassment. And, you know, it's that kind of thing that you just go, man. There are all kinds of people in this world who love darkness and their deeds are evil. It's those kind of deeds, but you know, it's across the board. And it's easy for us to look at the world around us and just kind of look at it in disgust. Ugh! But why did Jesus wrap you up in his all-embracing love? Was it to condemn the world? Wasn't it to save the world? And so, rather than being known as the group of people in our society who are quick to condemn, I pray that you and I become people who are known to be quick to love. And as people talk to us about how the church has hurt them, because there are all kinds of stories like that, let's step into the light. Let's admit, you know, that we're part of the problem. There's a part of us, this darkness within us that is quick to judge, quick to show disgust, and slow to love. And confess those sins and claim again God's forgiveness. And then let's be asking ourselves some tough questions. The Son of God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. On Wednesday evenings, in our Wednesday Lenten services over in the sanctuary, we're reading through the Passion history. Last week, Jesus is in the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin, and he's being spit on and beaten and ridiculed and condemned to death. And it just dawned on me that Jesus knew all of that stuff. and he was still willing to step into that place, to sacrifice himself, because he didn't come into the world to condemn me, but to save me. And it just made me wonder, what does it mean for me to come into this place of the Savior's embrace and to love so that the world might be saved through me? Now, I'm not saying that we can all sacrifice in the same way. That was brought home to me this past week as I was thinking about and praying about our mission partners. You know, I'm amazed at the sacrifice that Dan Thiel and his wife Cindy are making for the ministry in Costa Maya, Mexico. And it makes me go, I don't know if I could make the kind of sacrifices that they are making. Or I think a lot about Jeremy Maddock, who was deliberating a call. He is the pastor at our sister congregation in Garden Homes. You know, he's served for a number of years in a difficult neighborhood, a neighborhood that is culturally different than he is, that is economically deprived. It can just drain the life out of you. You just want to help people so much. And I go, I wonder if I would be able to make the kind of sacrifices that Jeremy has made to save the world around me. And I think about our mission partner, John Holtz, in Malawi, Africa. John has a call right now to serve in India in a position very similar to what he's doing, mentoring native pastors, indigenous pastors. And certainly Malawi is a different culture than ours. But India is even farther removed from our Western culture, and I just wonder, would I have the ability to make the kind of sacrifices that John is being asked to make to save the world around him? And I mention this just because they are illustrations of the fact that every one of us is different. We all have different passions. We all have different abilities. We're all in different places in life. Financially, we have different amounts of resources. And so, our sacrifices aren't going to be the same. And I'm not here to give you the answer. What is our God calling you to do? I believe God's put me here right now to just ask you the question. Do you believe those words, world, everyone who believes, whoever believes? Do you believe that it includes you? Do you believe that the Son of God did not come into the world to condemn you, but to save you? Can you say, he did not come into the world to condemn me, but to save me? Can you make that confession? Would you join with me in making that confession that if that is true, then I am wrapped up in the Savior's loving embrace? And I am here not to be used to condemn the world, but be used by him to save the world. When the Christian church began, the Apostle Peter got up on Pentecost and he quoted Joel chapter 2, where God promised that the young men and women would dream dreams. The old men and women would see visions. And I'm just asking you, what is your dream? What is your vision? What is your part in not condemning the world, but that through you, the world might be saved? When you hear this next song, Population Me, it's a great place to start. It has to start with me. Why don't you join with me in making that confession? Jesus came into the world not to condemn, but to save me. But if that's true, then God, give us a vision that you would use us to save the world.